Isaiah is sometimes called the Advent prophet. We've been hearing from him for the last 4 weeks. And all the Christmas masses have readings from Isaiah as well. And he's such a poet. You know, his metaphors and images that he presents are, they just transcend normal speech. They transcend normal ways of thinking about things and acting. So, for example, David, Isaiah and other prophets build David up into such an idyllic character. And actually, he was a great general and united the 12 tribes and defeated all of his enemies. And then he was a kind of a lousy king, you know, and he was unfaithful. And he had Uriah the Hittite killed so that he could have his wife. I mean, you know, there were some nasty things about David. But when you listen to the prophets and the Psalms, the way they have built David up into this character that's more poetic than real. And they build this messianic expectation that the line of David is going to last forever and that the Messiah is going to come from that line. And so that the peace that really never was in David's time, but it's built up into this legend. And so then Christ, who comes from the line of David, appears, is born, and he just goes beyond all that human expectation, even beyond our wildest imagination. Even poets like Isaiah couldn't imagine the perfection, the glory that is in Christ Jesus, because he knows no sin. He is pure love. And he reveals to us that this division that we have experienced in all of human history, the division from God, this illusion of separateness, Adam and Eve hide from God in the garden after their sin because they're ashamed. This separation from God, but also separation from each other. And so the again, from the book of Genesis, the Tower of Babel story, where the languages are confused, and so you have nations warring against one another, language groups and tribes warring against one another. There is no peace anywhere on the earth. And then the Prince of Peace comes into that situation and shows us what love really looks like. He shows us what the union between the Spirit of God, the pure Spirit that is eternal, that knows no limitations, what it looks like joined to materiality, joined to flesh. And so in that, he reveals who God is. God is pure love. God is constantly laying down his life for others. That's what it is in the Trinity. Each of the three persons are giving themselves completely to the other two and receiving that back from the other two. This has been going on in a kind of a love dance, in a centrifugal motion forever. But at one point, it takes on a human body. And so then we can see it, and we can hear it, and we can touch it. What was always invisible, what was beyond our imagination, has now taken flesh. And so we can experience it in a human way. And what does it look like? It looks like someone who exists more for others than for himself. It looks like someone who gives over his will to the Father's will constantly, who never has a concern or a fear about himself or his own identity because he lives in the complete knowledge of the love of the Father and the Spirit. The dream that humans have always had, that kind of love, that kind of peace, that kind of fulfillment and self-satisfaction, they see in Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. Because it's not just something for us to admire and say, oh, that's what God looks like. Because Jesus also reveals us to ourselves. He reveals to us that we are part of God. That we have divine DNA coursing through our veins. That he's not just showing us who God is, he's also showing us the potential for what we could be and will be at the end. In the realized kingdom, we will look like that, we will act like that, we will no longer have any fears or self-doubt, we will be filled with confidence, filled with love, filled with assurance. And so we will be able to act like Jesus. We will be able to give ourselves completely to other people, to the world, and to God, and receive all of that back at the same time. That's what the kingdom is. And Jesus has shown us already 2,000 years ago what that looks like. We have the pattern. We have the teaser already. But then it doesn't stop there. Because before he rose, before he ascended to the Father, the last thing he did here on earth was breathe his spirit into the human community, into the church. So that what existed in him in the body of Jesus of Nazareth now exists in the church, this union between God and humanity, this marriage of the human and the divine. Divine love in human bodies. And so that we wouldn't forget what that looks like and so that we wouldn't lose hope in that promise, he gives us the Eucharist so that we could see a tangible presence, something we could taste, something we could eat and drink, something we could touch. The divine presence in materiality. Now, the union is always the Spirit. The church teaches that the Spirit is the union between the Father and the Son. He's the glue. He's the bond. And so, when that divine life takes materiality, when the union between the divine and human flesh takes place, that's the result of the Spirit too. It happens in the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb. The invitation of God, the love flow of God, is received by Mary in such a pure and complete way that it results in the birth of Jesus. And so, here at the altar, the divine word, the eternal word, the Son of God, comes at the altar. And how does that happen? We ask the Father to send his Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine, these simple material elements, and allow them to become divine. Allow them to become the body and blood of Christ. And then that same Spirit is invoked over us, so that we might become one body, one spirit in Christ. So that the incarnation is not just something that happened at one time and is going to come again at the end, and in the meantime we're just sort of swimming hopelessly. It's always present. It's always in us. It's always available to us. And so we invoke the Spirit over and over again at Mass, but in our own lives, in our prayer life. We ask the Father to send his Spirit in us and transform us into divine life. There's a great prayer that we can always say, Father, send your Spirit in me so that I might become the very presence of Christ. Transform me into the body of Christ. Sounds like an almost scandalous thing to say, and yet, that's God's will. It's God's will that we become Christ. That the joining, the miraculous joining of spirit and matter, of divine and human, that was in Jesus, is our destiny too.